testing some ideas in Megillah. So, if you feel it's like a bait and switch, you can leave. But we'll see. Just a little drush. A little bit of drush. That means don't hold me to anything.
Disclaimer.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. So, somebody want to read this? Just, you can really back it up. Just a few, two more lines. Not going to make a difference. When I say, Aseres b'nei Homon, right? Omer of Adad d'min Yafo, Aseres b'nei Homon v'aseres tzorech l'mimrinu b'nishim achas. That's the halacha that we have. That what? That those names, Aseres b'nei Homon and Aseres, should be read in one breath, right? My time, Akulu Bahadi Adodi Nofku Nishmosayu. They all died together. They all died at once. Interesting, right? They all died at once. That's the Ram also has similar lashon. You cold or yeah. A little chilly?
Josh, I'll make me include you in the upstairs for now.
Face, Josh, I'll just.
I just stay away from him in the Suda.
You can't include them because they died at once.
It's a different one. It'll be his own group. The spear. Yeah. So that's one halacha. And then the other one is that what? That the vav should be extended. This is why Kul B'chad Kifa is Dakifa. Similar thing. They're all hung on one pole. Right.
Were they hung twice?
They were hung twice, yeah.
After they were dead, they were just put up as a display.
Right.
And they had to hang them on one pole. One pole with many ropes coming out of it?
I guess so.
Like fish.
So you see that what you see the Aseres b'nei Homon is an interesting thing. By the Aseres b'nei Homon, there are halachos in terms of demonstrating the way that they were killed. It's an interesting thing. One is in the ksav, and one is in the kriya. It's actually a machlokas. What it means the vav should be extended. Does it mean that you should dwell on it a little longer? What does it mean? It should actually be a bigger vav, or a different, slightly different vav. But so then, if you can say it's in kriya, then they're both referring to kriya. But
why do we care at all that how they were killed?
Right. As I'm going to try to come back here. But then this next halacha is in the ksiva, and what is that? Go ahead. Somebody want to read this? Dan, you alright?
Mm-hmm.
You look a little wiped out. Okay. Somebody want to read this?
Okay, I'll read it. Alright, Amar Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Darash Rabbi Shilo, Yishkvar Tamrasa. Kol Hashiros Kulan Nichtavos Ariach Agavi Levena, Levena Agavi Ariach.
So all of the shiros are written with a brick on a what's the other word here?
Half brick on a whole brick.
Rash says that what levena is what? Ariach is the ksav, right?
Right.
And levena is what?
Uchelik shehu kiflaim in a ksav. Ariach chati levena.
So, right, a riach is half of a brick. So Rashi's pshat is that what? That you have the words and the spaces. the words and the spaces. And if you look at the Shira, Oz Yashir, for instance, right? Oz Yashir has it, how does it, it's like a checkerboard, right? Right? But this one is what? This one is the brick on the brick and the half brick on the half brick.
Right. What is the Malchi Kanaan?
Yeshua. Okay. So these are written brick on brick and half brick on half brick. Why?
My time on. Shlote tukuma lama palton.
They shouldn't have a support for their being knocked down. What does that mean?
So Rashi says,
Shlohe
lohem makom laharchiv tsa'adav tachtav.
What does that mean? They shouldn't have a place to widen their footsteps.
Yeah.
So if there's a brick, there's a space, then what? They can have a wider stance, hold themselves up.
We envisioned it differently, that like in terms of the, there's nothing to break the fall. I don't know if that's what he's saying though, but like when you know, if you have if you're on one thing and you step off, then
like Mario Brothers.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know if that's Lashon of Lahar.
I hear it's saying it's nice, it's interesting chat, but
it's not what he's saying.
I think they have to like take a longer stride to get to Laharchiv.
It seems they're saying that if there are spaces, you know, you can have the checkerboard, so then you have a foothold. You can set yourself. It's like the Russia is on that wall. It's like you're on that thing. But this way, there's a very narrow spot in between. He can't really, he's not going to be able to set himself for his fall. I don't know. But anyway, what kind of an idea is this? I mean, what kind of an idea is this? And why is this a Shira? That's also interesting.
Yeah.
You see from here that the Aseres Bnei Homon is considered a Shira. Right? And a Shira apparently has to be written with spaces. Why is that? Correct? Mm. Why does that have to be? Actually, there's one Shira that's not written with spaces. Probably the most famous Shira of all. John knows.
Mm-hmm. No, that's
Shira Shirim. If there's one Shira, it would seem Shira Shirim is a Shira.
It's the Shira of all Shira.
Good shot, John.
It's the downfall of the shot. That's
it's happy. That you're happy when Rosh Hashanah dying.
She remains one of the downfall of Shabbat. That's why you know, the first the finish finale of this year. Because it's like the Mafei, not a remember.
Where is that?
I don't know, they just bring down, they just say that. See if the Chachamim say this. I mean, it's called the Song of Praise where it speaks about the downfall of the wicked.
Yeah.
Okay, look.
What are you trying to do?
One second, give me one second. Yeah. But Shira Shirim is not a Shira then. Right? Not in that sense. But why should a Shira have to be written this way? Yeah, and the Ron says that, it's the Ron, right?
Yeah.
That Hazinus also has the destruction of Rishon. Right, but it's interesting. I mean, but not every Shira is the same in terms of the destruction of the Shrine, because some of them are given. Some of them are like the Shira Al Yam, It's true. It's a good. I hear what you're saying. It is about. It's about that. But how come that one didn't have to be written that way? Or that those Rishayim? I mean, they're gone already. The Sarah's Bayman also gone. And it's a little confusing. I guess which Rishayim are we worried about? I mean, the Sarah's Bayman are gone. We're worried that what? You shouldn't have a Tekuma Lamapolosim? Yeah, Ben?
It's not talking about those Rishayim specifically that were destroyed, but it's talking about Rishayim nowadays that would try and take away the Hashkacha aspect of these stories. For example, the fact that the Aseris made Haman and they all died at once is a demonstration of the Hashkacha. Same with Mitzrayim and also, I guess, with Hazina, maybe that God gave us this Moser Haskel, the Torah, for us to keep and eventually destroy the Rishayim. You know, if someone could come along and insult them, no, that wasn't Hashkacha, it just happened, but these are supposed to be said in some demonstrative way that there's no way out of the fact that this was God's will and it's supposed to be recognized that way.
Right. Yes, yeah, so Rashi's Pshat is that what? That it's the spaces and the Ksav. The spaces and the Ksav. And here you order the spaces and the ksav in columns, basically. Right? Spaces are under the spaces, ksav under the ksav. And why is that again? Why is that again? Shalote tekuma. What is it? Limapolasam. Yeah. It's to signify what? Where does that fit in? Like, what, is it a limud of something? Is it? It's going on the future, right?
What is
it's going? This idea that you should order it in a certain way. Shlote tikuma lamapolosom. Is that like a limud? Like you shouldn't have any mercy on them? You shouldn't give them a foothold? It's not clear what exactly. What exactly it is. Yeah. And also, I mean, David's question is also a good question. I mean, it's true, Levi's right. They only were a shrine, but why would they demand a shiur, those ten sons of Haman? I mean, you didn't see a word of them, the whole Megillah. All of a sudden, they're like the worst enemies.
Yeah, one thing different about Haman's sons was that would be the next generation.
Right, that's true.
So that would take Haman's ideology, you know, the next.
That's true.
Generation.
Okay, so you want to see the run? So he says that what? So he quotes Rashi, right? And he says that what? And he says it's nearin like Rabbi Tam. Yosin nearin divrei Rabbi Tam. Go ahead. What is Rabbi Tam?
Shekamo she'ariyachu min aksav, kamochein halavenachu min aksav.
So that's an interesting question. Yeah, that seems to be the crux of the question.
Yeah.
Right? In the Shira, you have Ksav and you have space. Correct? So Rashi is saying one word is referring to the Ksav and one is to the space. Right? And Rabbeinu Tam says, no, that doesn't make sense. Mashma that they're both referring to Ksav. Go ahead.
Haki Pirusho. Oh, wait, did I skip something? No, Haki Pirusho. Kola Shiros, Ariach Agabi Levena, Levena Agabi Ariach. V'kori hashita ha'arucha levena v'katzara ariach.
Yeah, so what do you think? You have long lines and short lines?
That's right. Long one is a levena.
So the long one is levena, the short one is the ariach.
Kein shekasu v'shiras hayam, v'shiras devora, v'shirazu. Sorry, v'shiras devora. And he says, v'shirazu ariach agabe ariach v'es v'es v'es. Shein teos katzaros, zulamam lizu.
So on Shiras Hayam and Shiras Devora,
short on
you
long.
Have long Shiros and short Shiros, right? And what? And you have them
one on top of the other.
Right. The Shita, I'm sorry, Shita Rucha and Shita Ksar. So you have the long one and the short one, and the long one and then the short one. Staggered. But over here, you have all the short words together. All the essen. The S, the S, the S. Right? They are all Zulamala Mizu. Valaveno.
Kori Lashemos Shehim Aruchim. Him Gamkin Zelamala Mizu.
And Laveno are the names. Because they're long. So you have the short words and the long words. Opposed to having it staggered. Short, long, in the vertical sense. You have them all. It's all the same. All the short ones are in one column. All the long ones are in another column. Go ahead.
Umay takamar shalotei takuma lemapaltan. Tango shadavar shekishu hachuma shave b'shnei rasheha v'ein ba bleitos. Ein lahosif aleha ulchazka. Kamo shayu lecholim im hayu sham blitos v'shine hachoma. Sha'ad yicholim lahosif ala binyan ulchazka.
So what does it mean? That just like if you have walls that are even, right, on the both sides, and there are no protrusions, so you can't add on to it and strengthen it. Like you would be able to if there were protrusions, or teeth, right? Then you could add on to the building and strengthen it. Like Shiras Hayam. Like Shiras Hayam.
Masha'in kein zu. Sha'amut at sar shala. Kol echad shaveh mishneid stadav.
Oh, that's enough. Right. That then goes into separate thing with Shiras Hayam, right?
Yeah.
Why it's not a... Why that's also not considered an exception. That would seem to be according to Rashi too, right? I mean, Rashi's pshat doesn't get rid of Vazino. So what's he saying over here? That what? So over here, all the short words are on one side, and all the long words on the other side, and those are like two walls. And now the walls are going to fall. Because he has a whole different idea going on here, right? Like the walls, they're unfortifiable walls.
Why?
Because they're smooth. There's no place to extend and strengthen them. It's an interesting thing. I mean, it's an interesting pshat. I didn't realize it till you were reading it again, that he seems to be learning, even by Shiras Hayam, that it's columns too. In a sense, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's
just
like
the first words,
columns
right.
That you can build them out. I mean, it's a funny funny idea. Like, those are walls with teeth?
Yeah. And so what about the middle ones?
That's another wall. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's one big wall. I don't know. It's, that was, if you don't have, if you have a flat, you can't grab onto the other thing to strengthen it. So it's a different idea. Interlocking, right. So it's a different idea. It's that the walls, that the shuros are like walls, and it's showing you that they're destined to that they're gonna fall. They can't be supported.
And why should we have these smooth walls by Shiras Hayam?
Because we want to, because they're Rishayim. We want them to fall. We want to show there's no strengthening them. It's a funny, but the whole premise is funny. The whole premise is funny. That you have a shira, so you have to have these spaces. And now, there are two ways to make the spaces. Depending on the context, you're going to space them differently to demonstrate this idea. Yeah. But the main question, I mean, definitively, it seems between Rashi and Tosis is what? What's the main question between Rashi and Tosos? What's the definitive question here? What do you say?
The idea about us or about them?
No, just turn the shot in the Gemara. Shot in the Gemara.
What's the definition of a Riyafagavi?
No, it's can you consider the space an entity in the Shira? Right? Is the space like an entity in the Shira? Right? You don't name a non-entity. Rashi's saying that in the Shira has to be written in a space with spaces. Now, normally a space is there just to differentiate the words. Right? But it doesn't have its own idea. But in the Shira, it does, he's saying. And it has a name. And you can talk about configuring where you're putting the space. Matos says, no, it's only a question of where you put the words. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as where do I put the space. The space is just a function of the words being in where the words have to be. Well, yeah. Do you need Kavana for the space?
It's not writing here. Hidden in
Mucha and Mezuman for Lolich, though. Yeah. It's a difficult question.
Yeah.
And there doesn't seem to be much of a. I mean, I saw the Bach. The Bach says it's a nafgamina, halachically. So there could be a nafgamina halachically in terms of how you write the Megillah. I don't know if I understood what you're saying. I think he was saying he's got two pictures. You can see that according to Rashi, all you need is what? All you need is that there's a column of space in the middle. But you can have. You don't have to have just the word S. I think he wanted to say, as long as you have just two straight columns. You know what I mean?
What, you mean if you combine the S and the names?
Yeah, let's say you combine the S and the name.
And then you just leave a space.
As long as you make sure there's a space in between two columns, like Hazinu. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have just one word on the end of the line, right? But...
You're going to put the S and the name...
Yeah, the Bach...
Makes sense. It's enough.
No, I just can't picture it.
Picture... No, the way we have it is we have the name... A space and then the S.
Right.
There's a column of the S's on one side
right.
and names the other side. That's really saying like Tosos, because you have to have the little words over the little words. Right? Rashi doesn't insist the little words be over the little words. He just insists that there be a space in between the two columns. Mm-hmm. So there's no mukom. Mm-hmm.
So you could have the S stabilize. Under a name and a name over the S as long as there were two distinct columns.
As long as you can have that's right. So you have to have more than just an S, because then that would make
it
a checkerboard.
In terms of the number, the first thing would be a name.
Could take a look at the Bach. You got a picture of it.
Doesn't Rashi want the space to be a certain size in relation to the words, though?
That's true. That's the only thing I couldn't understand his shot. But we don't have that. If you look in the Sefer Torah, at least in the Tikkun, the spaces are not twice as big as the words. I don't know what I should talk about.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. So it seemed that it has to do with the question of Shira. Right? So why does Shira have to be written differently? So I think it's a funny halacha. It always seems strange to me.
What is the Rambam over here? John, you have your
Rambam down
here?
Yeah. Top middle.
Quadrant A2.
Where's the mitzvah of writing the Sefer Torah from? So why do you have to write the whole Torah? Of course you can't just write a Shira.
No question, no.
You can write Chumash, Rav says.
Yeah, it's difficult. If you have phone say that you can just buy Svarim and that's a camera.
That's the rush.
That's the rush.
Oh, the rush.
That's Bizman Azeh, they want to say. Bizman Azeh, it's different. The mitzvah is different.
Don't knock that rush.
Okay, the rush.
No, I'm just saying.
Deer is the rush.
What?
Deer is the rush. You don't know the ending of that statement?
No.
No.
Deer is knowledge.
That's good. Close. Okay.
Dear, that's more. Right. Yeah.
Another rush. That's what Socrates said. Aristotle said about Plato, right? Like this. Mitzvah asay al kol ish v'ishmi yisrael lichtov sefer Torah la'atzma shnemar va'ata kisvi lachem es hashira. Chomer kisvi lachem Torah sheyesh bo shira zu v'fi she'ein kosvin es ha-Torah parshios. Yeah. So he's saying it means to what? It means write the Torah that has the Shira, because you can't just write Parshios. But the tzivoy is to write the Shira. And halachically, it's going to mean you have to write the whole Sefer Torah. Right? So what do you see from this? It seems, I mean, there's a lot to say, I'm sure, about Shira, and I'm not really, I didn't really pair that kind of a that type of preparation would require a lot more work to really go into all the shiros. But it would seem at a minimum, a shira is a separate, unique entity within a greater, within the sefer. Now, it's not like, there's a difference between the shira of Hazinu and Parshas Noach. Parshas Noach is part of the sefer. There's a certain context that it's written in. And it's continuous. But a Shira is like a separate, Shira seems to be is a distinct entity with its own character. It's Makom is here. But in another sense, it's really an entity that you can talk about on its own. You can't talk about Parshas Noach. It's not an entity on its own. Sefer Bereishis is an entity. But Shira is an entity too. That's what it seems. It seems like that. And that's why it's written differently, it would seem. I'm just really thinking. You know what I'm saying? That why is Shira have to be written differently? Because it has to be moved off from the rest of the Ksav. It's a separate thing. It's its own entity. It has to be distinct in its Ksiva. It has to be Muchach, that it's another part. It's true, there's a whole Maisa Yitzis Shraim, but this is what they said, and this is a separate entity. Within the Sefer, this is a separate entity. Hazinu, it's a separate thing. It's Edus for the future, and really the idea is that entity of Edus should be recorded. You can talk about it as an entity, but halachically you can't just write it. But it is an entity to be referred to, right? So then it would seem that over here, so then we come back to the question over here. So what is this entity of the Aseres B'nai Haman? What is this entity over here? Right? And what is the idea that... So now we're saying, we're answering a little bit of the question. We're saying that it has to be written differently. That's really the idea. It's not an idea of space necessarily. But it has to be, and that's why Shir Shirim is not written differently. course, it is one sefer. Doesn't have to be separated from anything else, right? But but now is the question of how do you separate it? Saying once you have to make a distinction, there's room to guide the distinction based on concepts that relate to the inyan. Should be nicker from that sua too, that this is the context of the theme of the shira. And then that's one of the themes, that there's no tikuma to the destruction of the Russia. That should also be nicker in the very in the entity, in the thing that's distinguishing it. But yeah, I don't really know what Machlokas Rashi does though. But good.
Could try to answer the question.
The Machlokas?
No, the other questions. You're
the questions?
Yeah.
You want to just go? You just. What do you mean? Which questions? Tell me a question.
One at a time. Like, first of all, what is it? How is this a shira?
Yeah. I don't want to answer that question yet. No.
What question do you want to answer?
I didn't say I wanted to answer. You said you wanted to answer the question.
Oh, yeah. Well, you raised the question.
Okay. I'm
sorry.
Also just
the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. That you can answer.
Oh, then I don't know.
Then we're in the same boat.
Also, further strengthening the question of what makes this a distinct entity, you don't see that there's a Shira in the Megillah when it records that we hung Haman.
Right. So now we do. Now here's the more the drush part of the morning. I was just looking over some of the Chazal about Haman and Ahasuerus, mainly Haman. But let's start off with this one over here. You with me, John? Just a little free drush. What's that? Not every day you get that now. Because I don't want to answer the questions yet, because I want to base it on what we're saying now. You understand?
Where are you?
So let's take the first one here. Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Top of Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Omar Rabbi Abba starts at the very bottom. Moshul D'Achashverosh V'Haman Lema Dover Dome.
We're on the document.
So first word, Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. In Megillah. Got it?
Yeah.
David, why do you look confused? You got it?
I said it at the way bottom.
So what are Ahasuerus and Haman like? What's it like? What's a marshal for Ahasuerus and Haman? So Rashi, Klomer Yesh Lilmo and Ahasuerus after Daito Hoya Lashmidan. Means to say that you can also learn from Ahasuerus that he wanted to destroy the Jews too. How do you see this? What's the mashal that shows this? He says it's like two people, right? Shnei bnei adam. Le'echad hayo lo tel b'soch sadeu. One person had a mound in his field. Le'echad hayo lo choretz b'soch sadeu. And another guy had a ditch. Baal choretz. Omar mitin li tel ze b'damim. So the one with the hole said, who would give me this mound for money? I'd be willing to pay for this mound to fill in my ditch. And the guy with the mound said, who could I pay to take away this dirt? Okay? Who's who?
Haman's the dirt guy, Ahasuerus is the pit guy.
Alright. Any other way? Anything else?
I want to say the opposite.
Alright, let's see if we can figure it out. It doesn't say. Let's see if we can figure it out. So he says, you can figure it out from this last part of the story. He says it like this, Liyomim nizdav guze etol ze. Years later, they met up. Right? Omar lo bal choretz le bal hatel. Mechor li telcha. The one with the hole said to the one with the mound, sell me your mound. Okay? Sell me the mound. Amalo tul ata bechinam. Vahalevai. Vayosar hamelech estamato. He said, take it for free. And the king should be so lucky. Alright? No, the Yosef Melech's next statement, sorry. Yeah, so who's who? So who's who? Achashverosh has the mound. What's that?
I said the Charitz is Haman.
Yeah, that's what the Marshal says, because it's just a Kesef Nosun Loch. He says, Dima is Achashverosh Lubalatel, Shehu Bedimion. Yisrael shelo yachefetz bohem achashverosh v'dimas homan lebala choritz v'aguma shelo yachefetz betel lashlicho beguma ubo niskayim chofer gomitz bo yivol. It's not exactly the case, but you didn't dig the hole, but anyway. Yeah. Oh, he starts out a kesef, omalei kesef nosla. Yeah. But I understand the mushel of a mound. I mean, I can understand that. You have the Jews, and for some reason you didn't want them. So it's like an extra mound, like an extra thing. And killing them would remove the mound. That I see. But how is killing the Jews going to fill up a hole? Mm-hmm. How is that comparable to filling a hole?
The hole in Haman.
But you mean it satisfied him? It satisfied him?
He has some sort of destructive...
It solved the problem for him.
Yeah, you know, emotion if he wants to.
But the tail is also a problem. It's interesting. Okay, don't answer this question either.
Wait, but which one is which?
What?
Which one's Achashverosh and which one's...
Achashverosh has the extra hill. He's got a mound of dirt in his yard.
Yeah, these extra Jews, he is the one around.
And for some reason, Haman is the one who has the hole. He has
the
ditch.
Take advantage of the fact you said.
So, but what's the marshal telling you? The marshal is telling you that the Jews pose different problems to different people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some people view them as an extra, and some people view them as some sort of landfill, right? A filler. Extra, I can understand. Filler is hard to understand, right?
Well, actually, you don't want to answer.
I just want you to start thinking. Just want you to start thinking.
From the story, isn't it mashma that I thought that Achashverosh, Haman's one who reports to Achashverosh, you know what I'm saying? You know, Jews. Here it's saying that Achashverosh really had a real...
That's what Rashi's saying. That it's telling you that Achashverosh really always wanted to get rid of this problem too. She'af b'dayto hayu lashmita. He was thinking in the back of his mind always also how to get rid of them. Right.
Yeah, perfect.
Perfect. It's interesting. It's interesting the way the Marshall sets it up, that these are like old problems that each one had, and then years later, they met up, and perfect, a beautiful partnership ensued. And now let's go back a little further in the Gemara. Let's go back a little further. To the beginning of the story. Where's the story? The story here. Let me see. I'll just find stuff. One second. Yeah. Yud Beis on the Beis. Towards the bottom it says.
The Beis on the Beis?
Yeah. It says. Vayomer Memuchan. Right? I think it's 15 lines up from the bottom. Right? You see it? Vayomer Memuchan. Tana Memuchan Zehaman. Who's Memuchan? He was the one who gave him advice. He gave the king advice to kill Vashti, right? So who was Memuchan? That was Haman. V'loma nikra shmo Memuchan. Why was his name Memuchan? Shemuchan leparanas. Memucha means like ready, prepared. So why is he memucha? What's he ready for? Punishment. Funny kind of thing. Why is he ready for punishment?
To meet out or receive?
To receive. Let's see Rashi. What does Rashi say? Omed li os toli. He was destined to hang.
He's a master.
Yeah. He was destined to hang. Now let's see a little more about this. So it says,
He's a master. He didn't want to hang himself.
I didn't even hear it anymore. Okay. So it says like this.
You're missing good ones.
It says like this. Omer of Kahana, Mikan Sheha Hedyot Kofetz Barosh, Leo Kofetz Barosh. From here you see a regular guy jumps in the head. How do you see this? The Rash says that Shereimona Oso Akosov Libisof. He really was the last one on the list of the king's advisors. Alma Garuahu Mikulam, who Kofetz Barosh. He was really the last guy. Right. So he was the last one after the whole group, and yet he's the one who jumped ahead to give the advice. Right. So he was the hedgehog because he was the last, and he was jumping ahead. All right. Now listen to this one. Interesting one. This is like this. Leos called ish so rebbe veso. So each man should rule in his house. Right, that was his that was Haman's advice to write this letter to send out that we have to kill Vashti and every man should be the ruler in his house. Right? So it says Gemara says Ilmoli igros arishonos lo nishtayer misonehem shel Yisrael sored upolot. So he says if it wasn't for these first letters that Haman sent out, then what? There wouldn't have been any remnant of the Jews. So why is that?
Allowed for Esther to come.
What's that? So Rashi says, Ilmole igros harishonos shehuchsok bohen shote ve'enei ha'umos. He was considered a fool in the eyes of the people when they got these letters. Lo nishtayim yisoni Yisrael sar to polit shahoyu mimarin lahorgan b'mitzvas hamelach b'igoros ha'emtzoyos v'lo hayu mamtinin liyom hamoed. They would have rushed to kill the Jews right away. Right? They would have rushed to kill the Jews right away.
And the only nafkamina of him being a shota is that they'll delay it? It's kind of a strange thing.
He already was considered a little bit off.
What does that have to do with them waiting?
They weren't sure to take him seriously or not. Right?
What exactly was the content of the letters?
The first letter?
Yeah.
Was that they're going to kill, that Vashti has to be killed. And because it's going to cause, a whole new women's liberation movement. So, don't want that. So I mean, it sounds like a crazy. I guess, and then it's like a statement. Every man should be the man of his house. Everybody should, you know. Sounds like a crazy kind of like this is what.
This is making Achashverosh look.
Making Achashverosh look bad, yeah. It's making Achashverosh look bad. I don't, because it was written in the name of Achashverosh, right?
Was that Haman's intention or?
Haman thought he was doing a great thing.
Haman thought this was a good idea.
Yeah, he didn't want to. He didn't want to save the Jews by sending out a foolish letter first, and then nobody can take a second letter serious.
So where does the Gemara imply that they viewed Haman as...
No, it's Achashverosh, you're right, Achashverosh. But it goes back to Haman. I mean, it's Haman's advice. Achashverosh is not going to be happy about this in terms of Haman. Now, one more thing over here, Right? It's Achashverosh, you're right, it's Achashverosh. But it's Haman, it was Haman's advice.
Wait, but who was Mosek as the Shemte?
I guess it means Achashverosh. Because the letters were signed by Achashverosh.
I mean, if Haman gave him a stupid idea to send this letter, then everyone didn't take it to
him. Everyone said, this is what the king is sending out, letters like this. Then when they got the next letter, they said, there he goes with his crazy letters again. Right?
Yeah.
He was discredited. He was discredited. An amazing thing. Now, one more thing over here. Let's see. Let's see what else we have here.
You would have thought the men would have been very happy.
That were who?
You would have thought the men.
The men.
It's a good thing Haman was on the scene.
It's a good thing Haman was on the scene. It's a good thing that Haman was on the scene. So, well, it wouldn't have had the second letter if he wasn't on the scene either.
That's true.
They wouldn't have had the hole to fill. So, but it's a good thing he was co-face to the Rosh.
Right.
Pushed himself in there. Right away.
And he didn't get in trouble?
Did he get in trouble? No, he got elevated.
So I never understood that.
That's it.
Ahasuerus got his.
One second. What else did I want to see here? Hold on. So it says. Yeah, a little higher up it says. So he was angry with Vashti and he said to the Chachamim.
Where?
It's hard to find these things, but if you look, see the Gimel in the parentheses, it's two lines above here. Vayomer melech lachachamim. Man chachamim rabbonim. Yodeo itim. Yodei ha'itim, right? Lachachamim yodei ha'itim. She yodim la'aber shonim. V'lekvoh chadashim. So it's an interesting thing. That what do you see from here? That who did Ahasuerus seek advice from? From the Rabbanim.
But they weren't one of the seven. They
no. That's a different thing. Chachamim yodei ha'itim, and then he has his advisors. But he did go to the Chachamim for advice. Now one more thing, let's take a look at another thing over here. By when Haman got angry at Mordechai. When Haman got angry at Mordechai, so what does it say over here? It says on Yud Gimel on the days. Yeah. He was says Yishayahu Yutess on the side, right across from there. It says Vayives ve'enav l'shloch yod b'Mordechai levado. It's an interesting thing. So what does that mean? That what? So in other words, everybody was bowing down to Haman except for Mordechai. So Haman was very angry, but he couldn't just kill. He it was bad in his eyes to just do something to Mordechai. Why? So he says, "Omer Rav, b'tchila b'Mordechai levadu, b'sof ba'am Mordechai, umanu rabbanan, b'sof b'chol ha'yudim." So it says, "Ki what is a Yishayahu Nechemiah Mordechai levado? Ki yigidlo
es
am Mordechai." So that's the Chachamim. So they're saying that Mordechai was part of the Chachamim. That's what they told him. Right? But then eventually he went after everybody. But he was hesitant to just kill Mordechai outright because of the Am Mordechai.
He was afraid of him?
It's not clear what that means. Like, Yivez Beinav. Yeah. Is there a Rashi on this? No. No. Yeah.
Is
that like from Russian,
like the bizarre? Yeah. Okay, one second. You said Mordechai was part of Rabbanah?
Yeah.
Then it makes sense that he wouldn't want to tell him because Achashverosh asked Rabban for advice.
That's correct. That's correct. That's what I'm trying to put together here. That's what I'm trying to put together here. Yeah, one more thing. Let me just and then again, one more thing. Let's see. I think this is the last thing. If I can find it. It's. It says that what? Chulzei and Shavali. Where does that come out? Laila Ru. It says that what? That somebody says that Homan had everything written on his
chest?
Yeah. All of his wealth written on his chest.
Is that a bank account number?
I don't know. And then it just drove him crazy when he saw Mordechai. Just drove him crazy. Well, hold Zeh, because Zeh always refers to like something that you're pointing at. Hold Zeh, you know, shovely.
What exactly was it about the Jews that bothered Haman so much that they wanted to destroy all of them?
Okay, so that's what we're trying to get back to. That's the question that we're trying to understand. I'm trying to explain the mashal. Try to explain the mashal of Haman and Achashverosh, and then maybe we can see the shira of the sons. That's the blueprint.
So,
go ahead.
Possible idea. Haman had all these plans. You know, he wanted to have a lot of power, and in order to do that, you know, you have to walk a certain path. Right, so for example, if you're walking on a road and you see a big hole in front of you, you can't just walk over that.
Okay.
That becomes a problem. So in terms of the mashal, you know, you need to fill that hole before you can continue on your path. Haman had all these Jews, like for example Mordechai, who would refuse to bow down to him, and that causes, you know, doubts in his power. And so if he has doubts like that, he's unable to continue his role of, you know, trying to assume as much power as possible.
According to the mashal, is the ditch the Jews, or does he...
No, the dirt is the Jews.
Right,
the mound is the Jews.
So it's not like the ditch is the problem, the Jews
are... Well, the ditch is the problem, but the Jews are the solution.
I'm saying it looks like it's mixing up the problem and the solution.
No? I'm not sure.
You fill the ditch.
Killing the Jews is filling the ditch.
Just an approach on that point.
Yeah.
That like throughout history.
But it says it's in his yard. It's the only, if I'm gonna be picky on you, which I have a right to be, you have a right to push back, but I would be picky and say it says in his yard, doesn't it say?
Besoch Sodeo. It means like his control, his sovereignty, like what he has control over. He has control to go around the streets and
give him
the right to be picky.
You can't use an obstacle.
Besoch Sodeo means in his possession. He has a bad thing in his yard. You're saying it's a road that he's traveling on. You have to change your thing a little. Yeah.
Just like in general, like you see, like historically, that you know, like people use the Jews as scapegoats for things, even if they didn't necessarily have something against the Jews per se, right? So they had other problems that they could use the Jews as distractions for. You know what I mean? So it seems like, I mean, it's similar to what Dan's saying. That
is that going to fill up his ditch?
Right.
How does that fill up his ditch?
How does that fill up his problem?
It could be
because
like...
What's his problem?
Because what ditch? Kill, you know...
No, problem. Again, I think this is similar to what Dan's saying. Like, for instance, you have like a bunch of kids in a schoolyard. So usually the way one kid becomes the most popular is by putting down all the other kids. Bully is always the, you know, the top guy in the yard. So if you can, through a scheme...
Oh, you went to a tough school.
Eliminate...
That's probably John.
Eliminate, you know what I mean? So that he could use the scheme of eliminating the Jews to help elevate his position and power.
How does it fill up the hole?
The only three things that Gemara says that he was...
What? Yoshi of Charmel, right. Chol Zeh Ein Hashavali. Right.
Would you say there was
the whole story of Yehuda? He was learning Kamitsa, the next up. But anyway, yeah.
Didn't we see the big Marshall that he was really like the worst of the guys?
He was the worst, right? He was the lowest. What's the word we have so far? He was the lowest, right? He was Kofetz L'Rosh, and he was Mukhan L'Puranas. Right?
He gave bad advice.
And he gave bad advice to the king. And, okay, that's Haman so far, right? Yeah, John?
Just in terms of the mashal of the tale. So maybe that, because Haman, he wasn't just trying to destroy the Jews for the sake of destroying them, but his motivation was like to have a certain philosophy succeed. Meaning like he disagreed. Meaning the whole, like his whole thing was about like getting power, getting everyone to bow down to him.
Right.
And vote sorry, right?
Right.
And like the Jews, like represented through Mordechai, were the people who were in denial of that idea. And he wouldn't bow down, he wouldn't make him into a vote sorry. So the whole is, the problem is he wanted to see, he had a mission, that's the whole. He had a certain objective that wasn't, which is to, you know, to make himself powerful, to turn himself into a Lord of Zara. And the Jews were the means by which he was going to fulfill that, because basically...
What's that? What do you mean he had the whole, that was the whole?
It was a deficiency, because he hadn't...
Oh, it was a deficiency.
He hadn't succeeded. He has an objective, and that's, he has a hole, because he hasn't succeeded in his objective.
Like Dan was saying, he's got a hole in his heart.
The muscle makes it sound like the hole was there.
Go ahead.
So what the Jews will do is, in other words, by taking the opposite philosophy, which is connected his whole objective, and destroying it, so that is like a demonstration that, look, this is really the way to go. Look what happens if you go down the other road. It just leads to destruction. So by destroying the Jews, it fills up his hole, because it's like it's a demonstration that his derech is the correct derech.
Are you saying the whole is, like, part of the whole is the fact that they didn't bow down to him or whatever? They didn't recognize him as an authority? Because it sounds like he had the whole already. That was, like, there. And the only thing is that now there's
he had the whole. It's true. It sounds like he had the whole.
Right? You're making it sound like the tell itself was part of the whole. Like, the problem that he had was the tell.
No, meaning he wants to spread a certain outlook. He has a whole. He wants to become, basically, spread this idea, you know, his avodah zarah.
But spreading the idea is not the whole. You're saying, I'm just, if I understand you correctly, you're saying that the idea that he has certain problems? That, you know, the whole is a bad thing, right? You're saying he has certain deficiencies.
Yeah, I'm saying the whole means deficiency. What was his deficiency? Is that he hadn't succeeded. And he had a mission, he had an objective, and that objective was not being met. That's a deficiency. That's a deficiency. That he had a certain mission to spread a certain philosophy. That was a big net, so he had a hole.
And he's saying that the Jews are preventing him from fulfilling that.
It seems like the hole was created through the Jews. That's not
created through the Jews.
Yeah, because the Jews weren't bowing down. Because Mordechai wasn't bowing down. That's why he had the hole. Like that's why he wasn't succeeding.
Yeah, I'm thinking that maybe like the hole was just like his personality was that he was like he was completely like he was like starving for like some authority, some like recognition of like his greatness.
Right.
And, like he really had like, a really low, like a lowly place, and like he recognized that, right. And that's why it says that he was like the lowliest of the guys.
Right.
So the only thing, I mean, so he had to like take part in something that could bring him a certain amount of, like I'm saying, it's mashma really that he wasn't really involved in the
right.
in the destruction of the Jews in a direct way. Like he didn't really care about them. The only thing was he like latched onto it for his own personal.
Let's start with a simple question. Why was he Mukhan L'Puranas? Why was he Omed Leos Toli? What kind of a thing is that?
The last point, did you say that when we said this is the Chazal that he gave bad advice to the king?
Right.
So if he then gave good advice, he's redeeming himself because he had a problem he had to fix.
Well, you're saying the whole was when he gave the bad advice. Okay, maybe. It's not mashma that way from the Gemara. Because mashma, like, these are old set. Positions they had from a long time ago, and they just
that
met up.
That can also explain the Puranios.
With what?
That can also explain the Puranios, because his issue was that...
But you're saying if we look at everything after the first bad advice, but Mukhan the Puranios, I don't think it means... I think it means Vayomer Memukhan. That was his name before he gave the advice. Yeah, so what kind of a thing is that? Mukhan the Puranios, yeah.
Well, if as they were trying to do something in personality,
yeah,
not that. So just the existence of the Jews, and that philosophy is from, you know,
is going to lead to a destruction. I mean, one of them is going to have to go down. See, it seems to me, Memuchan, it seems to me like, what is the personality of Haman? I mean, could we paint the picture of the personality of Haman a little bit? So, he's Garua, right? He really doesn't have the talent. He really is not an outstanding advisor. His basic innate abilities are not outstanding, because he's the last. In an objective listing, he's the last. Right? But he's a kofetz l'rosh. What is that? What does that mean? Ambitious. He's an ambitious man with limited ability. He's got the highest of ambitions, and he does not really have the ability, right? He doesn't really have the ability to get there on his own accord.
It's like the Arabs today.
Yeah. So he jumps ahead, and his advice is foolish. But he jumps. He jumps ahead. He jumps ahead.
Everyone's all jumping out at once.
Castro. So.
That's already a recipe for.
That's a recipe for destruction. That's the guy who's Omid LeBaronis. He's Omid for LeBaronis.
You're stupid and you know it, and you keep your mouth shut.
Because he and he's gonna die. He's not just promised, he's gonna have to die. Because it's not like American politics. In that game of politics, you know, you either succeed or you die. And he had tremendous ambition to be the height, and that's what the king sensed, right? I mean, Achashverosh, you sensed some sort of revolt or some sort of coup. Yeah, so that's what it means. He was Muchan LeBaronis. But I think, I mean, maybe it's too superficial of a shot here for this audience. But that was the heart that he had. That he had the great ambition. And his chotzer was to be his kingdom. That's his chotzer. But he had a deficiency. He had a tremendous deficiency. His ambition far outpaced his ability. But his deficiency was in the realm of chachma. He was good. He was trying to work with the politics, but he lacked the chachma. And you see, Achashverosh recognized the chachamim and his and these seven advisors. But he recognized the Chachamim. He recognized the Chachamim. And Haman knew he didn't have that ability. He knew he did not have that ability of Chachma. And that was killing him. And especially since the Chachamim were involved in politics as well. So they were a direct threat now to his political ambition. But not a threat so much that they're going to become the kings, because that wasn't their ambition. They didn't have the ambition. But once the king has these knowledgeable advisors, he can tell. He can measure up against him. And therefore, the removal of these Jews would cause his deficiency to disappear. Why did he not want to kill Mordechai?
Why did that start by
Mordechai? Yeah, it's a good question. What does it mean? It means to say he knew that it would be viewed as a political move too. He knew it would be viewed politically, that he's removing one of the chachamim, one of the different class of advisors.
And that would interfere with what he was trying to achieve.
That would expose his motives too early. He had to lay it on the Jews as a whole.
What was the charetz exactly?
You ever see Sleeping Beauty?
Yes.
Yes. So what was her thing? Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all. Right? What's that? Now it bothered her that there was someone else there who was greater in her in that measure. The removal of that other existence would make her the most beautiful.
I thought he was one of the dumbest. But how would that
lower Charis?
It would remove the Charis. The Charis exists because the Charis exists. The Charis existed always because he always had a deficiency. He was not a Chacham. Okay, he was not in the realm of the advisors. He was not in the. He could not offer that type of advice of Chachmah. And as long as the king had the Jewish advisors, the Yodeitim, he had them, he turned to them for advice. That revealed this deficiency in him. That made him deficient. If they were gone, he would not be deficient. In other words, killing the Jews would fill the Charetz in a different way than the norm. It means it would sort of level the playing field, as they say.
What about the other six advisors?
Yeah, right.
They weren't chachamim. What, the first six? They weren't chachamim either. They were all in the same realm. Yeah, but he felt he could move in that. He felt he could outmaneuver them. But you can outmaneuver somebody. You can always outmaneuver somebody, even though they might have better abilities. You can outmaneuver them. But the chachamim is a whole different realm.
You're not a politician.
It's not politics at all. It's a whole different class. It's a whole different arena. You can't outmaneuver true chachma. That's existence. The existence of the of that would always be a glaring deficiency in his advice. But to remove that whole idea of chachma from before the king as advisors, it would remove that whole deficiency. His deficiency would be removed because he's only deficient relative to better advice. That's the marshal to the Sleeping Beauty. She was happy. She's not going to be more beautiful because this one is gone. But there'll be nothing to compare it to that's better. That will remove her deficiencies in beauty. She has a deficiency in beauty. How can it be removed? By removing a higher form of beauty. So that was his. That was Haman. But one second. And that's why he couldn't go after Mordechai directly. Could not go after Mordechai directly. But it killed him to see him, just to see his existence revealed to him that really he has this tremendous deficiency. Whenever he sees Mordechai, it just killed him. But, see, Achashverosh had a different thing. The Jews to him were a different kind of a threat. What kind of a threat was that? He really had everything. He was the king. But for some reason, I don't know exactly, I have to think about it a little more. For some reason, the existence of the Jews impeded his desire of using what he had properly. The guy who has the mound has got the good property. He just has an extra thing that's impeding him. It's stopping him from using the good property underneath him. So for some reason, Achashverosh felt as long as the Jews were in this kingdom, he wasn't able to express the kingdom the way he wasn't able to use his chutzah the way he wanted.
Did he
change his mind on that again, or he just decided to live with it?
Did he change his mind in the end? No, I don't think he ever changed his mind. I mean, but he realized that Haman was gonna was a greater threat.
Is it possible that he was also similar to Haman though? He couldn't stand having to, because he said he went to the Chachamim for advice. He couldn't stand having people above him also.
That's true. I mean, he did have a very ambivalent. I mean, he did have a thing with the Jews, right? That's the beginning of it. He made the party because he thought that they weren't going back. He used the Kalim of the Mikdash. He used the Big Kahuna. But they were annoying to him.
How come he didn't have a problem killing his top advisors if the Chachamim like he wouldn't get? That's not a problem for him. He wouldn't care.
You mean to give in to Haman?
Yeah.
To kill all the Jews?
Yeah. You know,
you have to read, we're skipping a lot of story over here, but there's this, Haman builds up, how the Jews are really bad. The Jew is always if you read it, I mean, in that you're right. If you look around today, the way the Jew is described, as some mythical, super intellectual, but dangerous figure. You know what I mean? That
protocols.
Intellect.
Protocols.
Yeah. Even like Nixon was like paranoid about the Jews, right? How many Jews in the cat? He was counting the Jews in his in the government.
Really? Yeah.
But he liked them. Kissinger was his Secretary of State, right? But it was an ambivalent thing. Like it's like a dangerous tool. You can use it, but if you give them a little too much power, what are chimes going on? If you give them too much power, they can. You know what I mean?
It's a similar thing. If you're in charge. It's great to have smart people around you.
That's
you,
right.
You would never want them to
That's
outdo
right.
you and get control.
Exactly,
There's
exactly.
too many of them. They're going to manipulate.
Exactly. So Haman did give him pretenses to kill them. They take too many vacations. He had the whole thing over there. Every day is another holiday for them. Then the foods they're spread out. You know, some conspiratorial thing. They're all spread out.
Super subtle.
You know. So anyway, so that really was what. The Shira.
Oh, yeah.
The Shira was... that was really the... I think Harry was right. That was really the idea of the Shira over there. that Haman was really... Haman was really... It wasn't just him. It was a whole different... approach without chachma, a whole different antithetical approach, and his children were his. I mean, he says kvod. What do you say? Kvod Ashro Rov Bonov. I mean, they are mentioned. They are mentioned in the Megillah.
Well, why is that an approach though? Isn't that just because of his circumstance that he didn't have?
But that's always what a maniacal megalomaniac does. He takes what he has and he forms that into the ultimate approach.
So why wasn't the Shira
it's only
on
because
Haman,
you only have
son.
To make up for Chachma, like why?
Because his sons represented a whole different movement. I don't know. That's the worst part of the Shira. But the thing is, it gets back to Neshima Achas. I think it gets back to Neshima Achas. And what's the idea of Neshima Achas? Yeah, good. Now you had an answer. Now we can use you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The Neshima Achas, what it does is basically it takes the Aser and the Haman and turns them into a unit. They become now a unit, and which means that what the Megillah is emphasizing is that you don't look at each son as like an existence on its own, but they're the Bnei Haman. They're defined relative to Haman. Why? Because the whole thing is that the Ashgacha was to destroy the Mesorah of Haman. So you don't split them up as individuals, but it's the unit of the Bali Hamasara for Haman. So they become a unit, and they're referenced in terms of the leader.
You're saying that Rosh,
but they were in fact all killed at once.
Rosh Hashanah,
so why did they kill them all at once? I mean, that begs the question. Who is saying begs the question?
Isn't it saying that
begs the question.
No, but
why were they killed all at once?
Isn't it saying you have to kill the ideology? Like there's, yeah. You have to kill the thing that joins them, which is the ideology, not the people themselves. That's how they were to kill them. You know, Molly.
You say that maybe the pshat is they weren't actually killed at once, but what it means is that it was in a separate. It was a separate event of killing the Haman. Megillah said 500 and Shushan were killed.
Why couldn't they be killed at once? Why does that bother you? They were killed at once. No,
maybe
seriously.
They were killed at once. I don't know. But I think the point is, whatever the point is that like the Megillah says that 500 were killed and then
yeah.
Bnei Haman were killed, which means
right.
that it's a there's a separate. It was like a separate event. Of like destroying like the Bali and Masada Haman.
Exactly. So why don't you say that? So you should say they were killed at once. Those the people were trying to make this point too. Right. That's
gone.
Why they killed them at once.
And that's why they hung them.
Right. That's why they hung them up the next day to demonstrate this idea too. And they were hung from one pole. They're all hung. It was a whole recognition. It was a recognition. Of this whole of the whole Masorah of Haman. And it was a recognition of the uprooting of that whole Masorah.
Why is this?
That's a Shira. That's a Shira.
Why is
this? I just don't see the philosophy. It sounds like you just have one guy who is an idiot and you have to make up for his deficiencies.
He was an idiot. He almost killed the entire Jewish population. I mean, idiots with great ambition are very dangerous.
He wouldn't have been able to.
It's a different kind of. It's like political chachma.
Right.
I'm not saying he's not a tipesh. He's not a tipesh.
He can get things done.
He's a political animal, but not interested in, not motivated by ideas. Not only not motivated by ideas, but he hates that whole world of ideas. It's like we're talking about in the different katan. You know what I mean? The guys who believe that they have the right philosophy, they hate chacham because it's a threat to them. It's a threat to their whole position, their whole stature. But I mean, it is an interesting thing. I mean, it was considered a tremendous upheaval in the nation, in the Jewish nation and in the Persian nation. Many, many people converted to Judaism in that time. Levi.
Yes.
You have an imagination. This is the time you got to use your imagination. You really got to try to imagine a little bit. Don't just read a story. Just read a couple of facts. You got to try to really bring it into meaning to you. What type of an upheaval this would be? What type of a figure Haman is? I mean, it really is in terms of. Just in terms of learning the pshat, it can't just be like some distant fable. You know what I mean? And unless you really try to put yourself in a certain position, and I mean, I know taking people from history is a good idea. It's just not, wasn't the right moment for it. But you have to be able to really get a sense of what it would be, an entire kingdom. And one guy is rising to the top, sending it. I mean, it's not like a small event. Right.
Event. I was just having difficulty with.
And you can't just knock on, he's a T-page, he's a fool. Yeah, but that fool is going to be the. Right.
No, I was just having. I didn't see where you had brought out the idea that this was anything more than just like his personal battle. Like that he actually.
Well, let's put it this way. It does represent a certain battle of philosophies between the Jewish philosophy and the worldly philosophy. Whether it's particularly how developed was Haman's philosophy, I don't know. It's a good question, but it does represent a different value system, a different approach, and apparently they all recognized that, and they said those sons all should be killed together because they're one ideology, they're one group, and they should be killed in a way that represents that. And it's that hakara, I would say, is Shira. That recognition is Shira. And there was a certain recognition that was expressed in the B'nai Haman. Yeah?
Can I try and ask another question?
Sure.
Why, if the Megillah wants to express this idea, why doesn't it just spell it out? Why is that diamond?
Good. Good question. That's a good question. I was going to... I also had an answer for something, but I forgot about it. Go ahead. Let me hear.
Oh, so basically, I don't know...
I actually abandoned it, but let's see. Maybe you can help me out.
So what I was thinking is that Shira, basically the idea of Shira is in general that Shira is basically an enunciation of Hashkacha. Shira says, okay. All, you're enunciating Hashkacha Hashem.
Okay.
And the thing is that what you see from the Shiras in the Torah about the way that you write it is that there's a kiyum in Shira. And maybe this is what you get back at, is that you said Shira is a separate entity within a Sefer. So the question is, how do you make it a separate entity, like you're saying? So maybe there's a kiyum in Shira to reflect the idea of the Hashkacha within the Shira, within the Ksivas HaShira. There's a kiyum to reflect the, meaning if it's raw, so there's a kiyum to show that the Ratzon Hashem is that be destroyed, did not have a strong foothold. And if it's Tov, so there's a kiyum to reflect in the Shir that the Hashkacha is that it should exist. So the thing is, once you say that there's a kiyum in Shira, and then maybe that's the way to differentiate, but once you say there's a kiyum in Shira to reflect Hashkacha, so now it's perfect why in this particular situation you can make Aseres B'nai Haman B'nishim Achas, and you can extend the Vav and all these things. Because you see in the whole system of Halacha that there's a kiyum Shira to reflect Hashkacha within the actual Ksiva, or within the actual Kriya. So over here, too, it naturally fits in that there should be an expression of the Hashkafa, or that there's room to make such an expression within the actual Ksiva Sashira. Because that's the way...
Like a normal Sefer, it wouldn't make sense to, like...
Let me tell you the idea I was thinking about. I couldn't really work it out. Maybe it's something to get somebody thinking about. I was just thinking of an idea of Shira, the way it's written. And this question that you just asked, why the Aseret Bnei Haman are written this way, not spelled out. And I was thinking like this, that...
And why they're written in Ashira, you mean? Why?
Yeah. I was thinking like this, that maybe there's a certain idea of Shira that is expressing that there is more, there's a certain content that's trying to be expressed, but not through the words. In other words, Moshe Oz Yoshir. So those are the words, that's true. But there's a certain event, and there's a certain... What does Ashira mean? Ashira means you're trying to express something with more than the words. You know what I'm saying? Hmm. You put something to music. you're trying to... There's another mode of expression other than the words themselves. And I try not to get too poetic, but in other words, that's what the spaces are representing. You know what I'm saying? That's what the spaces are actually akim in the fact that there is a whole other story here. That the words, you know, normally you read between the lines, here you read between the words. Right? And it's not just to set it apart. It's to show that there's a certain idea underneath. And that's the Aseret Bnei Haman is really the best one. It's the best case because it doesn't say anything. It just lists the names. But it's conveying a whole. Don't read these names. Don't just read these names. There's a whole story here. There's a whole thing going. There's something deep going on in between these words. This is not just 10 people getting killed. And the kriya expresses that. Nishima achas comes to express it, and the vav comes to express it. There's certain like a hidden. And now, of course, you got to be very careful. Of course, the whole Torah has deep ideas that are not conveyed just by the words. And Shir Shirim is a Shira, and it doesn't have it written like this. As I'm saying, it's an incomplete idea. It's an incomplete idea, but it's possibly partially a partial idea. Yeah.
Can you say another possibility that like the Shira is like a simple enunciation of Ashkacha?
Yeah.
And the thing is, over here, this why did they just take the event of Bnei Haman to do that? Because this really highlights exactly what the Hashkacha was. I mean, the Shira highlights what the Hashkacha was. Azish and Moshe, Parshas Hazinu, what's going to happen?
Right.
What is going to be the Hashkacha? So this event highlights exactly what the Hashkacha was, namely, what was that? That the philosophy of the Jews beat the philosophy of Haman. And that is demonstrated through the killing of the Bali Hamasar of Haman. So it highlights precisely what the Hashkacha was, and that's why the Chachamim picked this to put Bitsuras Shira.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But you see, I don't know if this idea is a comprehensive idea. Could be... I don't know. I mean, you really got to look into Shira a lot more.
Question.
I noticed one thing also, Yeshua Nechemiah, I noticed that in Koheles, it's also like a Shira in that one spot, Ace.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anybody say, why is that? You have any idea what that's from? Where is that source? I don't know. I didn't have time to try to find that. I looked, but I couldn't... I mean, that seems to be the same thing, right? All the aces are there. Is that called a Shira? I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's too big of an area. I'm just stepping in. I'm just dipping. Treading lightly over here. Yeah.
We asked a question before. Why are these Rishayim here different than the Rishayim, let's say, by the Yam, like such that the bricks are formatted in a different.
Yeah. Right.
Did we answer that?
No.
The Harigas Bnei Haman is just the fact that there was a destruction of the ideology.
But it could be because it's so. Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. Yeah.
More interesting the pshat of like you're saying that You're saying the reason why they're
it. I'm saying it's a whole story. You gotta look into it deeper. That's what I'm really here to tell you. All those S's on one side and the names, there's a lot in the middle that's missing.